Hello, wonderful Open Heart Project. Welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, if we have never met. Hello. And we're going to sit together today for 10 minutes. As per usual, we'll start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair or the sofa. And as we get settled, I really was not planning to make a video for this coming Monday, which would be the 6th, 5th. Today's Friday, August, whatever, 2nd. Because I'm just so sad. And if you don't want to hear sad, I don't blame you, and you do not have to listen. If you want to just practice, you can go right to that, or you can just click off and come back to something more, what you're looking for. If you've been watching these videos for a while, I'm okay, by the way. And anyway, let me just say that right up front. You may have seen my cats walking through the videos from time to time. And one died this past Saturday in my arms, which I'm grateful that I could hold him in that moment. And he, the grief is bottomless. If you have loved a pet or a furry friend, whatever people call them, then you may understand. It's a very particular kind of grief. And I was not expecting to feel okay, but I was not expecting to feel this either. On the plus side, he had a really good life. He was almost 18 years old. He had been struggling for the last few months, but very particularly in the last few weeks. And it was his time. And that does not help at all. So I've been asking myself, I have not been able to stop crying. That's why I thought I wouldn't make this. But then I thought, excuse me, I'm not alone with these feelings. You may be feeling them or understand them. And perhaps anything I could say here might be helpful to you or to me. Both are good. There's nothing I can say, I will just mention right up front, that makes this any easier for me or you. Grief is a strange presence. It doesn't seem like a feeling. It feels like a presence to me, and it is everywhere I look. And if you think, oh, well, this is a cat, don't listen to this, because these feelings are completely warranted and appropriate. Because there was such a deep love, I think. And we adopted two cats at the same time, and I woke up in the middle of the night, almost 18 years ago, or 17, I guess, crying, thinking, we need two gray and white cats. And I need those, I need them, and I miss them. It was a strange dream or whatever it was. Anyway, we went to the shelter, and there they were, two gray and white cats. And one sat under my chair and fell asleep while I was getting to know them in the shelter. And the other one jumped on my lap and started purring. So it's like, we'll take them. And from the minute we got them, My vow was, I will stay with you till the end. Otherwise, somebody else should do this. But I will stay with you to the end. And so I have remembered, I never forgot that vow, obviously. And certainly in the last few weeks, it came back over and over very strongly. You vowed to do this. So anyway, they brought so much joy to our lives. His brother still here, jumping around and playing with toys. So, you know, they are aging in different rhythms. Also 17 and a half years old. And what I keep asking myself about these feelings are so intense. Like the crying has been unlike any other crying. Even when my dad died, which also luckily lived a good and long life, but you know, I loved him and I still love him, and the grief was unbearable, but it was different. And I've been asking myself why. Well, part of it, I think, is, and thank you for listening to me, is that when my dad died, and I was with him when he died, as well as my mom and my siblings, and when I came back here, even though his presence was a gaping hole, I mean, his absence was a gaping hole, my everyday life was the same. With the loss of a pet, my everyday life, your everyday life, is not the same. You see, he was woven into the fabric of our lives, and we loved him, and he was a sweet boy and all that. But it's very particular relationship. It's very weirdly intimate. You pick up their poops and you examine their, you know, bodies, and they sleep with you, and or ours did, and they see you. They saw me at my best, my worst. I don't know if they could tell the difference, but they're with me in the energetic shifts of my life, and I with them. And so that's a very personal. Anyway, at one point the crying was so intense I thought I might have a panic attack. But I guess this is just something that we do. And perhaps, as a friend of mine suggested to me when I was sobbing to him on the phone, there's a strange intelligence in this pain. And I don't mean I'm going to learn something valuable or it's all for the best. I don't mean any of that bullshit. I mean, and I've been thinking about it, the intelligence of grief, perhaps, is this is real. And everything I might do to say, well, maybe I'm the only one who won't die. Or maybe, you know, I won't lose everything and everyone I love before they lose me. Maybe I'll be the exception. Such a loss makes you go, and especially one that's woven into your everyday life, makes you think, well, actually, me too. These losses are real, irreversible. And somehow, I hope I'm not just making a very depressing situation here, but somehow I see how big my heart is. I wish it wasn't, if I'm being honest, because grief and love do not enter the door without linking arms. You can't have one without the other, I don't think. And some of you may know I wrote a book long ago called The Wisdom of a Broken Heart. And I had the privilege of talking to many people about their broken hearts. My heart is broken right now. And what I've seen is that heartbreak is somehow love unbound from an object. And in the unbinding, it fills the whole space. That's what it feels like. And there's nothing you can do about it. So because of its irrevocable nature, its primal presentation, you cannot dress it up. One must assume, or I assume, that there's intelligence in it because it's so alive and so devastating. It can't be an accident. These are my thoughts, obviously. And the intelligence, again, is look at this. Look at this truth. In the meantime, try to be as happy as you can. Try to accomplish things. Try to have all the things you want. I'm not saying those are bad things, but they will not protect you from this. And it's very hard for me to get that through my head. So I often turn my attention away from the truth of impermanence, which is the first effing noble truth of Buddhism, and think, well, I'll just do my work today, or let me check my bank account. I wonder if I have enough money, or oh, I wish I made more, or what's on the grocery list? Oh, I'm reading this book. I wonder how it turns out. Just whatever the things are that we do with our everyday lives, when one has the privilege of choosing, those things are not to be ignored. But sometimes they are shields, at least in the way I use them. Because to look at this is unbearable. And then there are times where we have no choice. So if this is you, as it is me right now, please don't try to say, oh, Buddhist lady says I should just not turn away, because you need to be practical and so forth. We have to protect our minds and our hearts. So just all I can suggest is what I tell myself, just look at the world. How does it look different now, minus this precious friend? Look at your almost panic-stricken and sometimes panic-stricken longing to reverse time, to have him back. You can't. When thoughts of I should have done this or I should have done that arise, I tell myself, okay, consider your actions. Maybe you should have done this, maybe you should have done that. But try not to take refuge in shame and self-aggression, because somehow those things actually feel more manageable than loss. I think we did everything we could. For the last few weeks, we kind of had a little cat hospice here, which thank God we could do. IV bags and injections, and I had a whole spreadsheet, a checklist of this medicine, that medicine, twice a day, this one once a day, but split in two, and you know, all the details of caring for a precious household member. We did all those things. And it never turns out okay, because this is what always happens. So part of what I've been sort of understanding and wondering, I wonder if I could do that, is why people make up, maybe they're right, but I don't know, really complex stories, some of which might be true, I don't know, so I'm not trying to diss anyone, about what happens after you die. Maybe they're right. Again, I don't know, not being dead. But I would love to take refuge myself in that. But in the meantime, here are the two things that I do hold. One is an experience I had this morning. I woke up and I was crying and I was imagining that I could hold my little cat, pet him, and wherever you are, hold you. Even if I'm just pretending, I'm still doing it. And then in this half awake state, he held me in his arms. He grew to the size of a tiger, but he still looked exactly like himself, same markings, same cute face, same I'm not going to kill you vibe, as opposed to an actual tiger. And he was holding me. And that was good. Then, you may not know this about me, and then we are going to sit. But a long, long time ago, I was in a bad accident and I was almost killed. And I lived, but nobody expected me to live. And I had damaged my organs and so many broken bones and so forth. I was hit by a drunk driver in my own car. And there was this time period before I woke up in the hospital. It seemed like weeks, but maybe it was a minute, maybe it was a couple hours. I don't know, because I don't remember the whole thing. Where I knew I was someplace else, but I didn't know where. I didn't recognize it. And it was like a painting, but it didn't look like any terrain I recognized in any case. And I was walking. It wasn't great or terrible. It was just happening. It wasn't like I went to the light. None of that happened to me. But I was walking through this strange terrain. And then I noticed I was holding someone's hand. It was a little girl. And at that point in this, I don't know what state, fugue state, I wasn't sure which one was me. And we were wandering together. And that, you know, I don't know, maybe morphine makes you have crazy dreams or whatever, but the sense I got when I woke up was after you die, some things really change and some things do not. You're just somewhere else. And with practice, meaning this practice that we're going to do, and some kind of devotion to it, not to my practice, but to your own practice, whatever it might be. And through acts of kindness, thinking of others, doesn't mean being sweet and nice, but trying to be a benefit where you can in this world, we could go there to a place where that happens, generally speaking. After this part's over, I don't know. So one more thing, my teacher who died himself in this past December, Toku Tundub Rinpoche, always encouraged us and everyone to see as best you can what is sacred in this world that you are in right now. By sacred, I don't mean holy or even beautiful. I mean awake. Or you figure out what it means. See goodness when you can. Because A, it's better than seeing badness, as long as it's real. And B, the theory, according to this school of Tibetan Buddhism, is what you see here is what you will see when you die. So the more we can cultivate seeing an uplifted world, a kind world, a beautiful world, now, the more likely it is that that is also what we will see as our journey continues, not because it's woo-woo, maybe it is, but I don't think so, but because in every great wisdom tradition somehow says this, our minds are what create our world. And so while we can, let's try to create the one we would really like to live in through the use of our minds in a very real, powerful way that includes all the darkness and all the light. Okay. Shall we sit meditation? Thank you for listening to me. Please establish your posture in the midst of your world, your feelings, the felt sense of your environment, the beauties and the losses. Feel yourself seated in the middle of all of that because you are. Let your hands rest on your legs, palms down, somewhere above your thigh, I mean knee. And give your weight to the cushion or floor or chair. Like, we're not trying to get anywhere, y'all. We're trying to be right here, right here. That's where all the power comes from in the spiritual practice realm. Presence. Let your belly relax. Let your shoulders relax. Let your heart soften. Mouth is closed. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no technique for breathing, just keep doing this thing that you have always done. The eyes are open. So we're trying to be right here, as mentioned. And the gaze is soft and cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And if you're visually impaired, develop this sense of presence through the ears. Ear where you are. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, feeling the body breathe in and out. Stay with it as best you can. And if you cry, if I cry, that's still breathing, and you can still stay with it should you like. You don't have to. But crying is very much connected to breathing. I hope you liked my demonstration. So you can still practice and cry. And be with. Let your thoughts be as they are. And if you notice you become distracted in a line of thought, not every thought, we're not in punching bag with our thoughts, we're not in a boxing ring with them, just most of them will go away on their own. As you may have already noticed, some carry us away. So when you notice that, you could first congratulate yourself because, yeah, you just saw what your mind was doing. That's very helpful. Label it thinking. Start to recognize the difference between thinking and meditating. Let go gently. Come back gently and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence for a little while until you hear the bell. Thank you for practicing with me. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for your practice. And if you are grieving, my heart goes out to you. And as we close, I want to share something with you that I read yesterday that confounded me and helped me in equal parts. Very, very, very short. From a really great teacher named Chokyi Nyima Rinpoche, Chokyi Nyima Rinpoche. Deep sadness because nothing lasts. Fervent love because all beings are my beloved family. Lucid openness because this ordinary mind is full awakening. Sheer joy because all of this is true. I bow to you.